Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 44 and verse 24. Psalm 44 and verse 24. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? Psalm 44 and verse 24. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? The dear psalmist, so many times throughout the book of Psalms, speaks of the Lord hiding his face from his dear people. And that is why we read that 10th Psalm this evening. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? And then too in Psalm 13 he says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? You see, it was a great concern to the psalmists of old when the Lord hid his face. It really troubled the dear psalmist. Now, let us bring it home to each of us here. Do we know what it is to be troubled when the Lord hides his face from us? Because this is where the psalmist was here. Wherefore hidest thou thy face? Now, I seek to be led into this evening, feeling somewhat empty and helpless to bring it before you, but we find, first of all, that for us to really desire what is in the text, to be concerned about the hidings of the Lord's face, we must have life in our souls. We could never begin to desire the Lord would not hide his face from us if we had not got life within. It doesn't concern the world, does it? It doesn't concern the ungodly. They know no difference. We are told in the Word of God, aren't we, that they that know no changes fear not God. But to the real child of God that's got life in their souls, they will know both sides of what is couched in this first clause of the text. What I mean is this. The psalmist knew ever so much of what it was to experience the Lord's sweet presence with him. And therefore, when the Lord was to withdraw from him and to leave him for a season, he felt it painfully. And this is really a sign that we've got life in our souls if we know both sides of this. You see, it doesn't concern the professor of religion, the Lord hiding his face. I remember many years ago, there used to be a counsellor in one of the towns in Kent, and that counselor used to do some preaching in different places, and he used to speak to some of God's dear people in the town, and he used to ask them how they were. And some of them said, well, we're in a dark place. The Lord has hid his face. And he used to say to them, oh, you no need to worry. He's with the Lord, with you and with the Lord's people all the time. He couldn't understand why they felt like it. He said, oh, I'm always favoured with the presence of the Lord. I'm always favoured with his blessing. And what did Mr. Philpott say? In some of his notable sermons, he said, friends, if we always feel the Lord's presence with us, we've never felt it at all. You think how solemn. To think we have the presence of the Lord with us when we've never known it at all. You say, if we are real, and if that man was real, we leave his standing before God with the Lord. But, you know, many of God's dear people just couldn't walk with him, because they knew what it was for the Lord to hide his face. And you think of the times with the psalmists. Well, we think of the three particular psalmists. You think of Moses. The many times through the wilderness where the Lord withdrew from Moses and withdrew from the children of Israel because they had sinned and grieved him. And where did it bring them? They were troubled, weren't they? We read in Psalm 104, I think it is, thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. And that's one thing that really troubles me. When the Lord hides his face from us, it troubles us. Why? Because we're in darkness. We're in sorrow. We stagger along in the dark, as it were. We cannot see our way. But then you think of dear David. That profound psalmist of Israel, how many times he knew the hidings of the Lord's face. And that's why so many of our psalms speak of it. We think of that word in Psalm 27, I think it is, where he speaks of this. Hide, this was his prayer. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. O God of my salvation. It's beautiful language, isn't it? Was the language of a real child of God. And you think of dear David, the places he came into in his life, and he felt the Lord was hiding his face. And when do we feel it painfully? Well, when we have not got answers to our prayer, the Lord seems to be not only silent, but hiding his face, as though he's forgotten his people. But he hasn't forgotten them, you know. He never forgets them. They're ever in his thoughts. You think of that profound word of promise in Isaiah. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. They're ever to be remembered by him. But they know the hidings of his face. Oh yes. We know, just stepping back to what I said just now, we know doctrinally the Lord is with his dear people at all times, but they cannot always feel it. Oh, no. And many professors of religion, they shelter under that, well, the Lord's with his people at all times. We know that is true. But when we got life within us and we're subject to change, we're subject to many afflictions, many troubles, many distresses, many things to weigh us down, and there are times when the Lord hides his face and we haven't got answers to our prayers, have we? And we feel he has forsaken us, he's forgotten us. So the psalmist said, wherefore hidest thou thy face? But then think of that further precious psalmist of Israel, Asaph. Oh, how he knew it as well. What encouragement there is in looking at those precious characters named in the Word of God, and how their experiences dovetail with the experiences and feelings of God's dear people all these years later. You know, the path to heaven has not changed. We know we live in a vastly different age. And many people say, well, you know, things have changed from our godly forefathers. We know there are not those in poverty's veil so much today as what there was in our grandparents' days. But we still need the Lord, and we're still dependent upon him if we're his children, just as they were. You know, they lived ever so near the Lord. And you think how the psalmist commenced the psalm. He says, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to tell it to the generations come to follow, isn't it? We read, don't we? Is it not the closing verse of the 22nd Psalm, tell it to the generations following? You know, I often used to, when I was a boy, love to sit and listen to some of the experiences of our late dear grandparents. You know, they could tell wondrous things, how the Lord appeared when they felt he was hiding his face. They came into deep troubles of soul, of circumstance, and they used to relate all these wonderful deliverances. And I used to think, Lord, may I have a little what they've got. And some of the old godly souls we used to see in our early days, you know, they could tell it to the generations to follow in, couldn't they? Now look in your heart and mind, have we got something to tell them? It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have a little that the righteous man hath and be able to tell it to the generation following. The hidings of the Lord's face, his blessed appearings. You think how dear Mary Magdalene felt when, and we cannot begin really in the depths of it to comprehend it, when the dear Redeemer was laid in the tomb. And you think of that dear woman. He had cast out from her seven devils. And, you know, some of us know what it is to have more than seven devils in which we've known what it is for the Lord to cast them out. But he cast them out. You see, he did wondrous things for that dear woman. And he brought her from serving Satan to sit at the feet of Jesus and to love him and to adore him. He was the one thing that was needful to dear Mary Magdalene and the other Mary as well. Some wonderful Marys in the Word of God, aren't there? Oh, there are. We were at Matfield the other Tuesday. A dear lady, she said to me, she said, you know, I've never forgotten. And tears ran down her face when you preached about Mary Magdalene. And she said, you know, when you said what you did, when he spoke to her, Mary, she said, it went right into my soul. She said, the Lord so came and claimed me as one of his children. And, you know, it was so sweet to hear it. And how the Lord had applied the word. She said, I was at the ends of the earth, feeling out of the secret completely. She said, but when you preached on that dear woman, she said, you started right where I was, in the depths. The Lord was hiding his face. But she said, you know, he doesn't hide his face forever. He will reveal himself to his dear people. It's a good prayer, I often quote it, but may we know the reality of it. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Is that your prayer tonight? You may have come feeling the Lord is hiding his face. You haven't got answers to your prayers as you desire. You haven't got the deliverances that you desire. And it seems as though he's hiding his face. The enemies seem to be greater and greater, the onslaughts of Satan. The enemies within your own heart rebelling against you and rebelling against the Lord. But oh, it seems as though he's hiding his face. But poor soul, you look at each case in the Word of God where he hid his face from his dear people and then he appears for them. He reveals himself, and that's what he did to dear Mary Magdalene. And you look how it turned all her weeping, all her sorrow into joy. And oh, you think of how she wanted to embrace the Saviour. Oh, she did. And what, that's what faith in the child of God's heart will ever want to do. Embrace him, you see. Because such is his love to you, as it was for that dear, to that dear woman. And such was the love in her soul, she wanted to embrace him. He said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended. Notice the wording, unto my Father and your Father. And you know that dear lady at Matthew, she said to me, he assured me as you preached, he was my Father and my God and my Saviour. You see, when Jesus said to her, touch me not, it's not that he didn't desire her to touch him, because he did. But yet he says, I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Oh, you'll be the happiest soul in this chapel and throughout all the world if the Lord were to tell you that tonight. My Father and your Father, and my God and your God. You know, really, with the heart of dear Mary at that time, it was a taste of heaven begun below. It was something she'd never forget. The Lord had sealed home in her soul. She was one of his dear redeemed children. You see, going back to what I quoted about being engraved in the palms of his hands, he further said, didn't he, in Isaiah's prophecy, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. And in that furnace of affliction, you are no time where the Lord hides his face. He says, wherefore hidest thou thy face? Thy face. He's speaking to the God of heaven, who from time to time hides his face from his dear children, because of their sin, because of their backslidings, because of their wanderings, because of their backwardness to pray, because of the worldliness in them, the carnality. And he hides his face. And what does it do? It stirs the soul up to seek him more earnestly and seek his face for his appearing. So he says, wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? Really, you know, that is part of the diet that God has appointed for his dear people while they walk this earth. Affliction and oppression. What do we read in Isaiah? Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, he gives it. You see, bread and water naturally are really the basis of our whole diet. Oh, they are. Two essential things, really. And look at it spiritually. In the diet which God has appointed for his dear people to partake of while they're here below is affliction and oppression. Now I know what our old deceitful heart will say. Well, we don't want to have to walk in that. And man by nature would immediately say, well, we don't want that sort of diet. But that's what the Lord has appointed, you see, for his dear people. Think of Moses. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This was the path to heaven, you see, through affliction and through oppression. But you see, what makes this affliction and this oppression so troubling to the child of God is because when the Lord hides his face when we're in it. And you know, sometimes the Lord hides his face when we're walking in these things, to see how we walk. He knows our hearts, and He knows how prone we are to wander, prone to leave the God we love. He knows just how to test the child of God out, to prove their religion, and to prove how much is real in us, and how much is false, and how much we just put on when we go to chapel and when we meet God's people. You see, it's so easy to put on good things when we see the Lord's people or see the Lord's servants or just when we go to the house of God. But what about the rest of our life? And forgettest our affliction and our oppression. Well, this is the pathway the dear Saviour trod. It's been with me much today, and I don't know why, but Isaiah 53. I kept thinking about it today, and how He was afflicted, how He was oppressed. And that was before this text came. I didn't get this text till about 4:30 this afternoon, so I haven't had much time to think about it. But you see, what was so with me during the day, thinking of how the Saviour was afflicted. You know, we're often afflicted, aren't we, because of our sin. It's the root of all afflictions. I've said many times here in visiting the hospital in Eastbourne and other places, you know, they wouldn't need any hospitals if it hadn't been for sin. Solemn, really, isn't it? It's all the result of sin. And I was thinking of the dear Saviour, you know. He knew no sin. And yet He knew what it was to be afflicted. Oh, He did. Of soul. Oh, how in the agonies what He endured, He said, "Now is my soul troubled." And He knew what it was to have real soul trouble. And He can well sympathize with His afflicted and oppressed people, because He knew exactly what it was to walk through it as verily man, yet verily God. And as a man He suffered, you say, such affliction of soul, of body. Oh, you think of those agonies that He endured. Been with me much of late, I may have mentioned it here, but you think how many times He showed them His hands and His feet and His side. He did it to Thomas, didn't He? He did it to those in the 11 disciples gathered together after the resurrection. We read, "Then showed He Him showed He them His hands and His side." And then when He led them out as far as to Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. They could see those prints of the nails. Oh, they could, the great cost of their salvation. And so the psalmist says, doesn't He, "Wherefore hidest Thou thy face and forgettest our affliction. Now, you may feel tonight that one may feel, well, Lord's forgotten me in my affliction. He's forgotten me in the path of oppression that I'm in. Go back to Isaiah 53, you see, he speaks of how he suffered affliction. And then he was oppressed. He was despised. He was rejected of men. And forgettest our affliction and oppression. Well, poor soul, you may feel like the psalmist did. He has forgotten you in it all. But he hasn't, you know. He doth not afflict women, nor grieve the children of men. He may for a while delay. But he won't leave you forever. Go back to that 27th psalm that I name just now. Beautiful words in it, weren't they? I love that psalm. He said, hide not thy face far from me. Is that your prayer tonight? Put not thy servant away in anger. You know, that's all we deserve, isn't it, for him to put us away in his anger. Why? Because of our terrible sins and the vileness of our hearts. Thou hast been my help. Now, for your soul's encouragement tonight, you feel he may have forgotten you. What do we read in Isaiah? For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. It's only but a small moment, poor soul. You may say, oh, but it's been weeks or months, it may be years. It's a small moment compared to eternity. Oh, it is. A small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Thou hidest, he says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. And you have to acknowledge that, don't you? He has been your help. You daren't say he hasn't been. May that be a sweet encouragement to you tonight. Leave me not. We know because of our sin that's all we deserve is for him to leave us. But what is he, as he said in promise, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He says, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Oh, you think of those beautiful promises the Lord gave to Joshua. He promised him that he would never forsake him and never leave him. And he won't, poor soul. Once he loves, he never leaves and loves his dear people to the end. So, and I must come to the amen. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? You see, much could be preached on these two things, but let me just name this. The oppression from your own deceitful heart, the oppression from Satan, the oppression from man, the oppression from the world. And he knows exactly how you're oppressed. He did with Hezekiah, didn't he? And you think how the dear man from the inmost recesses of his soul prayed that prayer, and it's a good prayer. Oh Lord, I am oppressed. I've often said you can say the first part, but do you not desire the second? undertake for me. And you look in dear Hezekiah's case how the Lord wonderfully undertook for him. Oh, he did. And when he undertakes for you, like he did David, like he did Moses, like he did Asa, he'll do everything for you. Oh, he will. He undertakes to do it. What does the hymn writer say? He has engaged to manage all by the way and to the end. Well, I've scratched around the surface of this. May the Holy Spirit sweetly assure us, though we may feel many times that the Lord has hid his face from us, that he has forgotten and forgettest our affliction. Well, poor soul, he knows exactly that affliction, whatever it may be. And he knows how to appear for you. And he knows just what the oppressor is doing to you. And he can deliver you. What does the hymn writer say? The Lord speaking. I delivered thee when bound, and when wounded, healed thy wounds. In conclusion, there is a blessed day set before the soul that lives in this text and knows the experience of it, when there shall be no night there. You know, when we're feeling forgotten by the Lord and he hides his face, we fear the night, don't we? Why? Because the beasts of the forest creep forth then, and the adversary takes full advantage of the night. But what has he said? There shall be no night there. Neither light of the sun, thy sun shall no more go down. What a blessed prospect, you see, to these souls, a blessed exchange from all they've waded through here. And he will crown their journey's end. Well, may the Holy Spirit apply the word.